I would like to invite you to turn to today's focus passage, which is Luke chapter 15. We will be reading verses 11 through 32. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device. You're welcome to take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read the words from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the young son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now this elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" I saw the other day that the Emmy nominations are now out. I know you all are excited. You look like an awards show kind of people to me. But I always get excited because I like to see, it kind of helps me know what's on TV because I don't watch a lot of TV, don't have a lot of time for that. Once again, the shows that I watch didn't get nominated: Thomas the Train, Doc McStuffins, maybe next year. I'm kind of getting tired of those snubs, but they didn't get nominated, so I look at all the other shows that get nominated, and it's amazing. There's a new show every year, new several shows every year, that I simply can't keep up with. But so the Emmy nominations are out. So we know at least who may be winning Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Drama, Best Comedy Series, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Drama Series. You keep going down the list, you've got the best sound editing, the best cinematography, the best script, original song, all of those things. They can't, of course, broadcast all of those on TV. They just do the ones that we really care about, like the best show or actor or actress. And so I like to see who those are. Sometimes it gives me an idea of something I might like to watch. If I learn of a really good performance, if there's one show that wins 20 awards, I say, well, that show might be worth checking out if they're truly that good. But there's one category I want to get back to this morning, and that is the category of best supporting actor or actress. It's not the highest achievement, I suppose. The highest achievement, I suppose, would be, I guess, best actress or best actor or best Picture, best comedy series, best drama, whatever it may be. Moving to movies for a second, I think it would be about the same. But these movies, these stories that we take in, if you're a movie person, or maybe you only like movies every now and again, you like to enjoy them just every so often, these supporting actors and actresses actually make the movie possible. No, it's not the top prize. It's a supporting role, but it helps us understand the story and to complete the story and have a complete idea of what the story is trying to say. These movies couldn't exist without supporting actresses or actors. Isn't that correct? Think for just a moment if we had Good Will Hunting without Robin Williams, who won Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. Think about The Godfather Part 2 without Robert De Niro. I haven't seen it. Maybe some of you have seen it. You may not admit to seeing it. Think about Les Mis without Anne Hathaway, or Ghost without Whoopi Goldberg, all who won supporting Oscars. You see, stories are not possible without a supporting actor, and we're not even talking about the extras. My guess is that some of the movies could still be okay without some of the extras. I know what it's like to be an extra. I did plays in high school. I was like tree number one. So they could have done without me. But not the supporting actors or supporting actresses. Without the supporting actor or actress, the story isn't really possible. And so for today's parable, our second week in this series on the parables of Jesus, I want us to hone in on a supporting actor who often gets forgotten. We often think the story's over by the time the supporting actor enters the scene. But this is one of those stories, the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, that most of you in this room know, that most Christians would know, that most Christians would say, this is the glimpse, this is the ideal, this is what the gospel is. The father accepting the lost child into his loving embrace in the same way that God accepts us sinners into his loving embrace. We say that is the story. And that is the central theme of the story. Yet the author of Luke found it important to include the story of the other son. The son who didn't run away, the son who didn't take the inheritance and go out and rebel and then come back begging to be taken back in. No, it was included. We may think it's not important. We may think that Luke 15 could have cut off at verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. We might say, that's a good story. Let's stop there. And then we see now his elder son was in the field. It's kind of a downer to tack that on to the end. But I think it's important for us to look at this supporting actor and the role he plays in the entirety of this parable. So today, the supporting actor gets his due. We're going to talk a little more today about the other son, because the role of this supporting actor brings the story full circle, perhaps more than we realize. This supporting actor shines light on the central character, that of the father and that who we see as God. So to recap the story of the prodigal son, we believe that the father represents God, willing to extend forgiveness and grace to the lost son. It is perhaps the clearest example or glimpse of God's forgiveness through Christ. And the son represents the lost, those who have chosen to rebel, those who have chosen to live in sin. Yes, that's all of us. We all are the prodigal son and daughter who are lost in sin. It is the foundational truth of the Christian faith that we are sinners in need of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We all rebel. We all can become responsible. We all miss the mark. And even when we become followers of Christ, this story still means something to us, I believe, because we also, in our growth and becoming disciples, we also become lost in our purpose. We become lost in our finances. We still need to return home at times. But the lost son returns home, and he is accepted with open arms by the father. And not just accepted, he is given the wildest party that you could possibly imagine. They kill the fatted calf. It's too soon to do that, but they did it anyway. That was for the best occasions. They killed it and they fed it at his return. They gave him a beautiful robe. They gave him a ring. He didn't deserve these things, by the way. It was a celebration because this son who was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. It's a story of God's compassion and mercy and grace. We know that when we come to Jesus, despite our sins, that we can be accepted into God's loving embrace. We believe that God throws a celebration when the lost are found. But then there's the other son, the supporting actor, who we don't hear about very often. It's certainly not called the parable of the prodigal son, although in some of your Bibles it may say the parable of the prodigal and his brother. Some do say that. This other son exudes jealousy and resentment over the treatment of his brother, who was lost and made all the wrong decisions and came back home and was accepted lovingly by the father. The other son, to be a little further explained, in the context of chapter 15, we see that this is amongst several different parables involving something that is lost. Chapter 15 of Luke begins with the parable of the lost sheep. It then moves into the parable of the lost coin. And so this whole section is about what it means to be lost and to be found and to be brought to the Father. And I think Jesus had a very particular audience in mind when he brought the other brother into the story. You see, the religious elite of the day, the Pharisees, are tempted to feel entitled before God. They've earned it. If anyone deserves a party, it's the Pharisees who know the law front and back. It's the Pharisees who do all the right things and make sure that you know about it. It's the Pharisees who deserve all of the special treatment and praise, not the one who is lost and who left on his own accord and rebelled. You see, in this story, the elder brother should be rejoicing. The elder brother should be glad that his brother came home and that he has been found. What we may wish to ask in this parable, should it be called the parable of the lost son, or should it be called the parable of the lost sons? There are two primary truths from this parable that are brought to light by this supporting actor: that God's grace and forgiveness is absurd in the best possible way. Yeah, from our earthly standpoint, it does not make sense that the Father accepted the Son so willingly and lovingly. But also, we should understand that our inner Pharisees must be careful when we choose to think in the way of the elder brother. You see, this story and the elder son is an important reminder that the gospel is about grace and forgiveness and mercy. And Christians must remain fascinated by this truth, that the gospel is offensive. It's not the way of the world. The elder brother was offended by the grace and mercy shown to the rebellious son. We sang a hymn a little earlier that says, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power." And goes on to say, "I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms." No doubt the author had the parable of the prodigal son in his mind as he was writing this, or her mind. I don't know who wrote it. I like this hymn because it echoes the sentiments of this story. Because the good news says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary, and please present to me your background check. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary, down payment, please. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary, I see your history, you need 5 years forced labor before coming home. It doesn't say, come to me, all you who are weary, I see you still struggle with this sin. Get it completely taken care of, then you can come home to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, I will give you rest. Oh, you're prone to relapse? You need 5 years of a clean record before you can come to me. That's not the gospel that I see presented in the story of the prodigal son. It's important for us to be reminded of the magnitude of grace and mercy that we are shown by God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, because it's not how we operate. We like that payback. We want the punishment. We want the discipline. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his life, death on the cross, and resurrection from the grave, we can simply rush into the arms of Jesus in the same way that the Son comes home and rushes into the arms of the Father. Now, it's important to come back to the supporting player one more time because I can relate. I know I've told you this a few times, but I am a twin. I was raised with a twin brother. And I can tell you, there is nothing more infuriating than seeing a sibling not get what comes to him when he's done something wrong. Infuriating, especially if you feel you've been somehow mistreated and they get off easy. There is nothing more infuriating than when you feel you've done everything right and somehow your sibling doesn't have to work his way back into his parents' favor as he should. Maybe we need to be reminded of that as well, not necessarily for your siblings, but just simply for those who would choose to come to Jesus from being lost. Those who wish to come to Jesus, those who wish to experience Christ in the presence of our fellowship of First Baptist Church, perhaps we need to be reminded that there is no waiting period for the lost to enter the arms of Jesus and to find purpose and meaning and celebration in this community that we call First Baptist Church. Maybe we need to be reminded of this. And I think that is why it is important that today we are reminded of the best supporting actor in this story. We may see him as some sort of a problematic tack-on at the end of the parable of the prodigal son, but this older brother is a reminder to us, A, of the great expanse of God's grace and love and compassion, but it also reminds us and tells us to be careful lest we become like the older brother when we become comfortable and complacent in our communities of faith. When the lost enter this place, when the lost enter First Baptist Church, whether they have never been in a church, whether they have no idea what it means to be a follower of Christ, perhaps they are lost in the fact that they once were a part of a faith community. Perhaps they once had faith in Christ and are still and now have questions. Perhaps they have been mistreated in a church, and so now they are wondering because they can't find a place to fit in. Will we choose to be the older brother and say, wait a second, there's a waiting period for you? Wait a second, we need to see some background first. Wait a second, you're coming home and you're not dressed in the way that you should, as I'm sure that the lost son would, the elder brother thought about the lost son. Will we be like the older brother, or as a faith community, being the presence of Christ, being the body of Christ, will we be an image of the Father, who wishes to celebrate when someone enters this place and finds forgiveness and grace and life and purpose in the person of Jesus Christ? My challenge to you, First Baptist Church, is as we seek to reach the lost, those who are lost in sin, those who are not followers of Christ, those who may simply be lost in finding a church or finding a place where they can fulfill God's call in their lives, let's welcome them with the open arms of the Father. Let's say you have a place here and we're going to celebrate your presence among us because God has great things to do through you. Let's make that commitment today as we seek to be more like the Father. Let's pray together.